Our Second Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 30, and you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 97 in the second half. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It is a true blessing to be among you, today with my family. So we're going to reflect on this passage. I'm going to invite you not to close your Bibles, but to keep them open so we can look at the passage every once in a while. In a scale of 1 to 10, 10, 1 being not too important and 10 being, you can't live without, what would you rate water in? 10, right? Yeah. It's so important, right? We don't think about it sometimes, but it's so very important. This morning, we didn't have hot water in the hotel, so the water is cold. But you realize the water at the right temperature is important. I heard that this morning we don't have water in the washrooms here, so you realize it's so important as well, right? Water is everywhere, and those of you who have traveled can tell us that water actually tastes different in each country, right? Doesn't taste the same everywhere. And actually, it's really good tasting in Canada. We like coming out. Susanna just enjoys just opening the tap and drinking water. It seems so like not a big thing, but it's not common, actually. It's a rare privilege that you guys have here. I've spent the last few months, the last couple of years, teaching and facilitating in Latin America in several cities. And I can tell you about, for instance, the city that we live in, Cochabamba. Having water at home, running water at home, is a bit of a privilege. Most of the population have limited hours during the day in which they can collect water, you know, maybe at 4 or 5 in the morning, when they can collect water from the tap. Sometimes they even have to buy water from a truck because the municipality system has failed to deliver the water for a few days. The city that we used to live in till last year actually has abundant water. La Paz is surrounded by beautiful, gorgeous, huge mountains that have snow all year round. So that snow melts and it fills up the reservoirs. And there's good water in La Paz year-round, and everybody has access to it. But we have been told that the snow is melting faster than usual of the glaciers, and so while we have water now, there might come a time when water is scarce, even in La Paz, that is surrounded by mountains, by snow peaks. Sao Paulo is another city where I work, and flying into Sao Paulo is an incredible experience. It literally looks like flying over a jungle, but made of concrete. It's just like buildings, as far as the eye can see. And, of course, it's a huge city. There's about 21 million people in this one city, so it's really impressive to fly over it. The drought in the state of Sao Paulo was incredibly bad. It was so bad that, it was all over the news, and they would show you how empty and dry the reservoirs, the water reservoirs were. And when I was teaching how to facilitate this SETI program, it started raining. So we had to stop because the facilitators wanted to go and just feel the rain because it hadn't rained in such a long time. And it wasn't a heavy rain or anything. It was more like a drizzle. But they were just so excited about it. So water is so very important. The world needs water. Water is life. The world needs living water. Living water that brings us life in abundance. Now, there is no way to do justice to this beautiful passage. That's the story about Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman. It's about water, for sure. It's about true worship, about who Jesus is, and about who this woman is. Since I'm very much involved in teaching, what grabs me the most about this passage is the way Jesus teaches. The way this conversation with this woman leads to truth and revelation. But let's follow along John's story to see how the story of a thirsty man and an outcast woman becomes the story of the Savior of the world and of an evangelist. John begins by telling us that Jesus learned that the Pharisees were keeping track of his success and were comparing him to John the Baptist. That happens even now, right? Like people tend to compare how some leader is doing, you know, in relationship to another. We tend to keep track of that. But Jesus doesn't seem anxious to draw more attention to himself, or he doesn't seem to particularly enjoy the Pharisees' recognition of him as a good teacher. So he returns to Galilee. He wants to go back to Galilee, but he does it through the bad neighborhood of Samaria. It was noon, and Jesus needed water, but doesn't have a way to get the water out of the well until a Samaritan woman shows up. She was most likely an outcast, this Samaritan woman, because she was at the well at noon. And this is not the usual time when respectable women get water. It's too hot. So, see, women would do it either early in the morning or at, close to the evening. So a respectable woman would not fetch water at this time. And a respectable teacher, whose success is being tracked on, wouldn't let himself be seen with a woman or teaching to a woman, much less. So how did this conversation happen? Jesus was thirsty. Jesus asked for a drink of water to the Samaritan woman. Jesus is a human being that experiences thirst. The conversation about water is going to turn deeper and more meaningful, for sure. But water is not a mere prop that Jesus uses to start a conversation. He's thirsty. Their common need for water, H2O, is what brings these two people together. The Gospel of John shows us Jesus that is as fully in the moment when he's talking to someone. He attends real weddings. He goes to real dinners. He needs real H2O. So he asks for water. And how does the woman react? Well, she seems, she's shocked, right? She brings her cultural and very real cultural expectations. You are a man, a Jewish man, and I am a Samaritan woman. You should not be talking to me. Cultural expectations, social expectations. Doesn't that happen sometimes when you try to talk to someone who's from a different culture and things get a bit awkward, you don't know how to breach that? But Jesus stays there and keeps trying. He does not stop the conversation. But notice how he follows. He says, "If you only knew." Now, when do we use a phrase like that? Oh, if you only knew. It's to pique their curiosity, right? To get someone interested. It's an invitation to ask. Oh, tell me, right? And the conversation moves along. The meaning of water becomes richer and more interesting. Jesus begins to talk about water that moves or bursts out of a place, water that's alive. That's kind of interesting because we all know that the water in a well doesn't move. It's quiet. It sits there. So what is this water? The woman's curiosity has been piqued. What does she have to say? Verse 11. She brings her practical observations to the conversation, which are, you don't have anything to get the water with. But that's not all she brings. She brings her theology, her worldview to the conversation. Incomplete as it is, she asks, through her theology, a profound question. Are you greater than our father Jacob? That's her theology. And Jesus will work with that, incomplete as it is. The woman's observation and challenging questions lead Jesus to reveal a little bit more of what he can do. Jesus begins to talk in the first person. Not only can I give you water, I can make living water come out of you. Now the woman is really interested. Verse 15, she is the one asking for water now. And she's thinking of the good uses she can put this water to. If I have this water, I won't have to come back again, right? Verse 16. At this point, some commentators perceive a change of topic in the conversation from water to the woman's personal life. But maybe Jesus is actually beginning to respond to the request of the woman. Maybe he is starting to give her living water. You see, besides quenching our thirst, water washes things away. It makes us clean, especially running living water. The conversation about water now turns prophetic. Water is being talked about in different levels. It's like when you skip a rock. Do you guys know how to skip a rock? I don't really very well. I try to show my kids sometimes, and then the rock goes boom. It's just like, okay, one more time. After a few times, you know, I get boom, boom, and then that's all. But I have some friends that claim that they can do it for like 7, 10 skips, and that's amazing. But think of this conversation as skipping a rock. See, each time the rock hits the water, it creates ripples, right? And that's part of the meaning. And the next time, it hits it again and creates more meaning. And next time, more meaning. And sometimes, if you pay attention, the ripples of each point of contact, they start to intersect with each other, right? And they form a figure that is unique. It's different from just the one touch, you know, the expanding circles. So that's how this conversation moves along. And it's about water. It's about living water. It's about who they are. So the conversation now has turned prophetic. Now the prophets among us make us uncomfortable questions. They ask questions, or they question the way we live our lives. The woman's life story was less than smooth. It was quite messy. Remember, Jesus wasn't particularly thrilled to know that the Pharisees knew that he was a good teacher. He kind of avoids them, right? But he wants this woman to know that he's a prophet. He names the sore spot in this woman's life. Most likely, the woman not having a husband is the main reason why this woman is an outcast, is the main reason why she's at the well at that time of the day. Now, her response is not complete. She says, I have no husband, right? It's true. But not the whole truth. She doesn't tell the whole story as she knows it. But Jesus can work with that. The woman can now say, after this part of the conversation, if he knew what I have done, or if he knew who I was in the community, he wouldn't be offering me living water. She cannot say that, because she knows he's a prophet. She knows that he knows. How does the woman respond? An avoidance? Verse 19. See, after this conversation, in verse 19, the woman begins to talk about worship. Sir, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Some commentators say that the woman is changing topics. You know, this is making her uncomfortable, and she wants to go back to the theological discussion. And they might be right. But if we hold to the skipping rock image, we have to realize that the woman just had a prophetic encounter. I don't know if at all anyone has ever told you a deep truth that you needed to hear. That maybe it was hard, or maybe it was great, but it was something that was profound, that it was from God. That's a prophetic encounter. When you have that happen to you, the right response is worship. So the woman's question about where to worship is actually spot on, because she has to worship, incomplete messy as she is. A story about rejection is slowly becoming a story about true worship. She says, well, I was told to worship here, but you guys say that we should worship in Jerusalem. And what does Jesus do with her theology? He deepens it. He expands it. Is that me? So can we maybe bring it down? Sorry. Thanks. Okay, so Jesus deepens and expands this woman's incomplete theology. True worship, he tells her, is not about a place, which is something that was very important for the religious people of the time. True worship is about bringing our stories, our whole stories, to the Father, being truthful. The woman was in the right path to true worship because she had spoken truth. See, Jesus invited her to ask questions. Jesus invited her to bring her story. And what is the woman expressing in her last words to Jesus? She explains the hope of her people. We know that the Messiah is coming, and he will explain all these things to us. So Jesus, through this conversation, is inviting the woman to explain what hope looks like for her. Can we do the same for our communities? Can we take the time to listen what hope looks like for them? Now, it might be incomplete. It might need to get deeper than what it is, but we need to listen. Because after Jesus listened to what hope looks like to her, he revealed fully. He revealed himself fully. I am. There is no greater revelation than this from Jesus. I am. The woman first encountered a thirsty man, then a Jew, then not just a Jew, but a rabbi, Then she realized this rabbi was actually a prophet. And last of all, the woman meets the Messiah. Jesus talked about water and offered water. This is an incredible conversation. Incredible how it happened, and incredible that it happened, actually. Because verse 27 shows us that the disciples were shocked that Jesus was having a conversation with a woman. And the issue was not so much that she was a Samaritan, but it was that she was a woman. No good teacher, like I told you, would allow to be seen with, would allow himself to be seen teaching to a woman, much less a Samaritan woman, and much less an outcast Samaritan woman. But their teacher, our teacher, will cross any barriers to give dignity to the outcast and to make them fully participant in his kingdom, to invite them to true worship. The woman left quickly to tell everyone about this living water that she had just tasted. But before we go into that, please notice in verse 28. Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. Some may say that she did so, she left the jar because she was in a hurry. I'm not sure. Could it not be in the same way that Jesus wants to share living water with her people? Could it not be that in the same way that she wants to share living water, she also wants to share H2O with Jesus? So leaves the jar there. Because he was still thirsty. Remember, it was still noon. It was still hot. She wanted to make sure that Jesus and the disciples had something to drink the water with. So that's another aspect of the skipping rocks, right? So the ripples are crossing now. Notice the way she invites people to meet Jesus. She asks a question. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be our hope? She tells them what happened to her and finishes with this question. She invited others to come and see. And the scripture tells us that many believed because of her words, because she pointed them to Jesus. And it's interesting, we didn't read this part, but later on, after the Samaritans meet Jesus, they declare that he is the Savior of the world. It's a grand declaration from Samaritan lips. Jesus is the Savior of the world. This conversation led us from a thirsty man and an outcast woman to the Savior of the world and the first evangelist, someone who points others to Jesus. How are we engaged in conversations that point to Jesus? It is my prayer that we as the people of God will talk about water, H2O, and we'll talk about living water. That we will fully live out our humanity, our needs, and interact with our fellow citizens, fellow community members, as fully participant in their communities, in our communities, but also will be able to have conversations that invite them to participate in the community of the kingdom of God, just like Jesus did. Amen.